So this is a little hot, Pastor. Let's bring that down a little bit. So we are going to be talking about, I'm going to be preaching today in a little bit, and we're going to be talking about making space. And I was thinking about it this morning during pre-service prayer because the song Make Room, which we've sung here before, came on. And I just began to continue to think about what that means to make when we make room for God. And as you have probably seen, some of you, that you know, we have a couple kids. And for each kid, we've had to make space for them. And that became, like, probably for me at least, the most, I noticed it the most going from having the two kids to having three kids. And so we had two older kids, and then we had Liana. And Liana was, we were living in an apartment at the time in Beaverton, Oregon. And we, you know, you think like, well, how much space can a little kid take? Well, it's not really the kid that takes space. It's the stuff that takes space. It's not the baby. It's the, you know, the pack and play. It's the swing. It's the jumper. You know, it's all the stuff, right? So quickly we realized like this space is a lot. Like we need more space. We need to make space for this. And God bless us with an amazing house in Portland that had ample space for all of us and whatnot. And you know, I think it's important that we recognize how intentional we have to be about making space for God. And so this morning, as we worship, my hope in my heart is that you guys would find an intentional play. What this is the thing we do for our youth. Like we don't let our kids be married to their seat. You know, we say you can go around the room, you can find a space in the room wherever you want to do, because we just know that sometimes we, because we're people of routine, can get so locked into our routine and our norm and our comfortability that we can miss God sometimes. And so I would encourage you guys the same. Make space for God. Make space for him in your heart and in your mind. And I just really believe that God has something special for us this morning. So let's pray, and then we're going to get into worship. God, we just thank you so much just for who you are. And I just pray that you would move mightily, Lord, this morning, God, that you would begin speaking to us right now, begin speaking to your children, begin moving, Lord, right now in the hearts, Lord, of your sons and of your daughters, God. I thank you, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit is here, that your Holy Spirit is here filling each and every one of us up, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, God, that you are moving, God, in our lives. And we just thank you so much, Jesus, that you love this place with all of your heart. God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, that you are a big God, that you are a God that heals all things, that conquers all giants, that conquers all mountains. And we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you guys stand with me today? Let's just begin thanking him. Just begin thanking him. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne today, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are moving mountains, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you have made us more than conquerors. We thank you, Jesus, for the mighty power of God, the mighty power of God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you.
been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, yeah. I've known you as a friend. Oh, I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah, all my life. All my life.
Your goodness. favorite part.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yeah.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
It's all because of your goodness and your love for me. Your love. Jesus.
Oftentimes, as human beings, as believers, whether you've been in the faith a little bit or you've been in the faith a long time, you come to these crossroads where you have to intentionally remind yourself how good God is. There are truths in our faith that I just believe we cannot argue. We can go back and forth about certain theology, and you know about. Are the gifts for today, you know, or what did the angels look like, or whatever, but the things that I am cemented in my faith, and that I believe that if we are a Bible-believing people, is this, that God is good. You can't argue, we can't argue around that. If we can, what are we doing? What do you actually believe if God's not good? What do we actually believe if we don't believe that he is on the throne? In Daniel, there's a story that a lot of us know, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and King Nebuchadnezzar builds this huge monument, wants everybody to worship it, right? And bow down to it. And I want to read the part where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is facing the king. It's facing their imminent doom, essentially. And I love what they say here. This is Daniel 3:16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." This is the important part, verse 18. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods of worship, the image of gold you have set up. Even if we still die in this fire, our God is still so good, we will not worship your God." And I think that a lot of times we forget that in trials, in tribulation, in circumstances, in broken relationships, in sickness, in death, in all these things, that although those things are not fun and those make for tough situations, they'll make for tough living, that our God is still good. And God, I'm praying for this situation and I want to see this happen, but even if not, you're still good. Even if the relationship still breaks down, the death still happens, the sickness still even if, God's still good. And I want us to sing the chorus again, "All Hail King Jesus," because I believe that our spirits need to come into alignment with this truth, that all hail King Jesus. We're not praising any other entity. We're not praising any other being. We're not praising anything else but Jesus, the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only one that has died and rose again and made such an impact on our lives. Amen. Let's spend a little bit more time in worship.
All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All Savior of the world, all hail
Jesus, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for your goodness, God. We thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you so much for your majesty. We thank you so much for your presence. God, I just thank you that worship doesn't have to end because the instruments stop making noise. Lord, that worship doesn't have to end because we transition, God, but worship is what we do, God. Worship is a lifestyle, and anything we do, Lord, when we're glorifying your name, God. I just pray right now, Father, that you would continue this worship in our heart, continue this worship in our spirit, God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Just for who you are in our lives. Yeah. All hail King Jesus. We just thank you, thank you. All hail King Jesus. That's all we can say. That's all we have to say. All hail King Jesus. Yeah. We just thank you for all this in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen, amen. You have some beautiful people around you. Give somebody a hug, get some coffee, and we'll be back in a minute.
No, I know. Oh, there I am. Hi, guys. Good morning. If you haven't already, please find your seat. We'd love to get things started. Hi, guys. There's so many new faces today. I hope you guys had an opportunity to get to know each other just a little bit. All right, so the next phase of the day, we're going to go into declarations. And for those of you who haven't been here with us before, we do the declarations over our city and or the heart of the house. And what it does is it just kind of gives us something to stand on in faith and believe God to move in. And when we stand in and make declarations over our city or over our house, we believe in faith that those things are going to come to fruition, even if we haven't seen them yet. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, because there is life and death in the tongue, right? Yeah. Right. So when we speak life over our city, there's nothing that can happen except for life, right? Amen. Okay, so if you guys will stand with me when I count to three in cadence, we'll do this together. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing in our city. God, I thank you that you have not forsaken us. Lord, I know that we continue to wipe your name off of things and continue to take you out of things, but Lord, you still are on the throne, and you are still good, and you still reign, and we give you all the glory. We just praise you. We say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen.
You guys can be seated. Pastor, I'm going to change over to the wireless.
Check, check, check.
We have just two announcements today. The first one being our men's barbecue this upcoming Friday. That's at 6 p.m. That is here at the church. And so it would be great for you guys to show up and invite your friends and invite your coworkers and your family. We'll send out a text leading up to it, but just put it in your calendars now or come. We're going to hang out. We're going to have some food, share a word, and it's always a great time to hang out with you guys. And then the next one is, we've been announcing it for a while now, but the youth yard sale is just in a few weeks. And again, all this money is going to our youth ministry, camp, sponsor kids, pay for gas money, all the fun stuff that we get to do. And so we're still accepting donations. You can talk to Nance. That's her number up there. So if you want to donate some stuff, just let us know. And all donations are appreciated. And we just thank you guys for just your generosity. A lot of you guys have already donated as well. So that's awesome. And then The last thing is just giving. We thank you guys for giving to the house, continuing to give and sow into what God is doing at One Life Family Worship, because God is doing some good stuff. Amen. And so we just appreciate you guys being obedient ultimately to what God's laid on your heart to give. And we thank you guys just for just continuing to be a generous church and all that you do. And so you can give online, as well as we have a box here and a box out right outside that door. And we just appreciate all that. So I am preaching today. I mentioned when I opened service that I'm sharing on making space. And this has been something on my heart the last few times I've gotten an opportunity to speak to anyone. So I think last month I spoke to at the men's barbecue, and I talked about the secret place. And then I spoke a few weeks and talked about something similar, and I talked to our youth about it. And it's just been so heavy on my heart, the importance it is for us to make sure that we are creating an intentional space with God. And we don't get into a routine that's comfortable and you know, just getting through life and not changing it up and not ultimately not growing in God. I've said it numerous times, and I'll continue to say it, that the enemy isn't scared of a Sunday-going Christian. The enemy isn't scared of a small group going Christian. The enemy ultimately is shaken and afraid when Christians take what they're getting here on a Sunday, take what they're getting from the Word, and apply it to their life. The enemy is ultimately worried about that. And so let me pray, and then we're going to get into this. God, we just thank you so much just for your goodness, for your continued glory in this place, God. And we thank you that you are not done, Lord. You just, again, like I mentioned before, just because worship ended doesn't mean that we are done worshiping. And so we worship your name. We praise your name. We thank you, Father, that just as we are attempting to create a space in this place, Lord, that you are ultimately creating a space for us. Lord, that there is space for all of us in your heart. And so we love you, we thank you, and we just praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to share this definition again of the secret place. This is just my own personal breakdown of what it means to be in the secret place, and it's this. The place you have created on purpose to cultivate a quiet and intentional time to talk to God, a.k.a. pray. The place where you know he dwells. Again, we know that God dwells everywhere. We know that God can dwell in this place just as he can dwelling in your car, as he can at your home, as he can in the coffee shop, as he can wherever. God is everywhere. Also, we know that, and you probably experience this, is that there are just certain places that helps you get there. There are certain places that if we create this on-purpose space with God, that we get there a lot easier, right? So, you make space for what is important to you. Ultimately, we have things in our lives that we make space for. If I asked you what's important to you and you weren't able to answer, I would just say, let me see where you spend your time, because where you spend your time is what you're communicating what's important to me, okay? So we spend time at work. Even though some of us are like, well, I have to work because I have to make money. Nonetheless, it's important to you, so you spend time at work. Hopefully, I spend time with my family. Why? Because my family is important to me. I spend time doing hobbies. You know, maybe it's golfing or whatever the hobbies are, right? But ultimately, what we're communicating is that these are the things that are important to me. I had a friend years ago when I still lived in California, and he invited me to work out. And, you know, he's single, and I don't know if you guys talk to single people sometimes, but their brains don't operate the same as people who are married and have kids, right? Like, actually, just recently, I was talking to a friend about, he was like, you haven't watched this show yet? And I'm like, bro, there's so much TV to watch. He's like, yeah, but you guys watch the same shows over and over again. And I'm like, bro, I have four kids, two of which are, like, toddlers. Like, I can't just put on anything in the middle of the day, right? And so, and he's just like, why wouldn't you watch this show? Like, it's like, okay. Anyhow, my friend, he invited me to work out, and I, you know, I told him, I was like, I don't have time, you know, and legit, it was a legitimate reason, you know, I'm married, I have kids, I have a job, I'm at the time going to ministry school, like, I don't have time. You're a single dude that, you know, you are sharing a room with a roommate, and you're living your life, right? You have time to do these things. And I'll never forget this thing he said that actually changed my mind about working out, but also about anything, and it was this. He says, it's not about time, it's about priority. Either you make it a priority or you don't. And when he said that, something shifted in my brain, because when he's saying we should go work out or we should make time to work out, I'm thinking of time, like sacrificing time. I'm thinking of, where am I going to find an hour to do this? And then I started to think, well, if I prioritize it, I could find the time. If I actually prioritize it. And so it shifted everything for me, and I really began to apply this to my family, to my marriage, to the things that I want to get done, to my faith, and that it's very rarely. Now, obviously, there are times where we have we don't have a lot to give, right? And we're to put anything else on our plate would be chaotic. But majority of the time, majority of our lives, it's just a matter of moving things around and recognizing, actually, this thing isn't that important. Like, I can do that less. Not the coffee. That wasn't, I'm not saying that, okay? But you know, I can do that less. I can move that. I can take it out of my life completely, or I can just do it less, and I could make time for God. Amen? My first point is this. If you want Holy Spirit to move in your life, make space. If you want Holy Spirit to move in your life, make space. Now, we are a Holy Spirit-believing body. We believe that he's here, that he's in the room, and we believe that we can and we do engage with him. Also, we're looking for something more. I believe when we get in here on a Sunday morning, and my hope is in your guys' daily lives, that you guys are always trying to find more of him, even though you have all access to him, that you're finding, you're looking to find more of Holy Spirit. In order to do that, you have to make space. This a few weeks ago, or I think it was maybe this past week, for those of you who have a garage, what I've realized is this: as an adult, there's a couple things that are, you know, bragging worthy. And when you're a kid, it's different with the things that you brag about. When you're an adult, one of those things is like a good lawn. Like, that's a good, like, you see, like, that's something you could brag about. You know, a somewhat clean house, right? And another one is a clean garage, right? You guys see those garages, maybe some of you have them, I don't know, where you drive by and it looks like you can, like, eat off the floor in their garage. Like, you're like, wow, this is amazing, right? And I'm just like, man, I'm almost 40 if that's what's impressing me. And so I'm in your garage, and this is the other thing that frustrates me about having space in the garage, having a garage space. We haven't always had a garage. So why now do I look around and I see all this stuff? I'm like, where was this stuff when we didn't have a garage? Like, what is it about having a space that just makes you want to fill the space? So anyhow, I blame my wife. We are organizing we have our part of our garage organized, but then there was just this stuff. Like, I'd walk in there, and the other thing about a garage is that it's out of sight, out of mind. So you don't think about it until you have to walk in there, right? So I'd walk in there and be like, oh, this is so frustrating. Like, this stuff, I don't know what this stuff is. I don't know why it's here. I don't know. I didn't even know we had that anymore. Why, our babies are grown. Why do we still have baby stuff, right? And so we had a free day, and me and my wife were in the garage, and I was asking her about this stuff, and We took all that stuff out, all that stuff that was just against the wall that had no order to it. We took all of it out and put it in our driveway, and it looked amazing. And so now we had to take an assessment of the stuff that we'd taken out, of the stuff that's in our driveway, and say, what do we really need? What is the stuff that we're just holding on to? What is the stuff that we're keeping just in case? What's the stuff that, you know, we really do need? And how do we put this back in a more orderly fashion? And we ended up getting to do that. And God really began to speak to me about how often do I do that in my life? Because I need to do it more. I need to take an assessment and not get too comfortable in my routine and empty my life, if you will, and say, okay, what is in here that God has said, you don't need that anymore? That's not a mindset I you don't need anymore. That's something that we laid down at the altar years ago that you still have. That's not the way we talk anymore. That's not the way we think anymore. But that I've just kept onto out of routine, out of habit, that I need to say, okay, I'm going to get rid of that and put back the stuff that actually God has intended me to. Luke 4:38 says this, because Jesus truly gave us a good picture of how to live this life in every which way, and this is one of the ways, creating space for him and the Father. Luke 4:38 says, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her, so he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them, but he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus knew the importance of finding or creating a space for him to connect with God. If Jesus, fully man, fully God, had a value and importance for creating space to connect with the Father, why would we think we wouldn't need that space? Why would we ever envision if Jesus, fully man, fully God, fully access to the Father, if Jesus knew that it was important that he went away to a solitary place, that he would make a space away from the noise, away from the chaos, away from whatever, to just connect with God, why would we think that we wouldn't need to have the same value in our lives? Here's the thing, we must gain more of a value of having these spaces in our lives. And it can't just be in the church. It cannot just be on a Sunday morning. It cannot just be on a small group night or a conference weekend or whatever. There's 168 hours in a 7-day week. We spend an hour and a half here, typically. Some of us longer because we're here earlier or whatever. But an hour and a half here. If this, you guys have probably heard this said before. I'm not the first preacher to say this, that this cannot be the only space that we create for God. We want to create a space for God here. We want God to dwell in this place. We want this to be a space where when we come in this place, when we enter this place, we ultimately find God. However, we are not doing the church, the capital C church, the body of Christ. We're not doing any of us justice if we gatekeep the presence of God in this building. And we say, you know what? You only can get it when you come here. No. We want you, if you need help figuring that out, yes, we want you to get it here, but then we want you to get it here. And then we want you to take it out and give it away. And then we want you to go in your homes and give it out there, and go into your workplaces and give it out there, and go into our city and give it out there. But we only get that if we create these intentional spaces. My second point is, if we want the more, we must do the seeking first. If we want the more, we must do the seeking first. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you not much more, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" The answer is no. Verse 28 says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Verse 33, this is the key. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I believe there's some translations where it even says, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But the second part of verse 33, and all these less important things will be given to you. Like, they listed off things that we all need. We all want clothes. We all want food. We all want shelter, right? But what he's painting is that, yeah, that's great. But if you seek God first, the more will be added to you. In the message, it says that last verse, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Are we focused on the reality or God's reality? This is revealed to us in that secret place. We know where we're truly focused on. If we are focused on a God reality, or if we're focused on the own reality, our own reality that we've created, we'll find out real quick when we get in the secret place. Because God's not going to allow any other reality than his own in that secret place. Is God's initiative enough, or are you going to keep being a control freak? And that was more for me than anybody. Do you really truly believe with all your heart that God provides, or is this just a sweet Christian saying? And we have them all, right? God is good. I can do all things through Christ. There's life and death in the tongue. These are powerful sayings, but unfortunately have become watered down because we've continued just to say them to say them. But this isn't just a saying. God will provide. The last point I have is this. Make space in community. Community. This is how I break down community. Simply put, community is the people you do life with. Community is people that you do life with. That you celebrate with them, you mourn with them, you go deep with them. Community is not just people that you know. Maybe you know their name, they know your name, your friends on Facebook, whatever. That can be community. But real community is people that you do life with, that you are shoulder to shoulder with, that you know that you can call them and say, hey, I am struggling with this, and I need support. I need prayer. I need help. Also, hey, this happened, and I would like some celebration. Like, let's celebrate together. Like, that's community, okay? Acts 2, 44 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is after Pentecost Sunday. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people, of all the people. And the Lord is added, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Real community isn't always going to be convenient or easy. Community shows up for you, and you show up for them. Real community isn't always going to feel easy. Real community takes work. I have a friend who I met in California years ago, about 10 years ago now, and we became friends in California. He moved down to Portland, and then up to Portland, and I, about a year later, me and my family moved as well. Went to the same church, and we've continued this relationship even though we've moved from Portland, obviously. And just this past weekend, I took a 24-hour trip where I was literally in, he lives in Washougal now, I was literally there hanging out with him for legitimately 24 hours. I took the drive by myself. I knew that it was important to me to go see him because it's life-giving, and because I receive from him and he receives from me. And it wasn't like we did a lot, you know. We went and got coffee, and we went and got food, and we just hung out and we talked. community isn't always easy. That's a sacrifice. That's something I had to, again, going back to priority, that's something that I had to plan with my wife, say, hey, I'm going to be gone for a full day. Days that you're off of work, I'm off of work, I'm going to be away from my family, I'm going to be away from you, I'm going to spend money to go on this trip and to go spend 24 hours with a friend. Why? Because community is valuable to me. I value community, right? And it needs to be intentional. God blesses those spaces we create in community. There are revelations God reserves, I believe, for you that you'll only get through community. You know, so I don't know if you've ever done this, but I'm sure you have. Praying, you know, we'll be praying, and we'll get in our minds what the answer is going to look like. God, I pray for this breakthrough in this area, for this thing, for this word. God, give me a word, right? This is the more common one where this happens. God, give me a word. Give me a revelation. Speak to me. Speak to me through, you know, the word or through a song or through a dream or whatever. And often what happens is that God will bring a word, but it might not be in the package that you like. It might be from a person that you don't want to receive from. It might be from a family member that you don't get along with, from a coworker you don't get along with. And all along, we're asking God for a word, but God, because he's God and he's sovereign and ultimately can do whatever he wants, says, well, son and daughter, I'm going to give you a word, but you actually have to be listening to get that word. Sometimes those words are going to come in community, but we have to be paying attention to it. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The space with God created in community opens up more freedom in our lives. Saying yes to God has saying yes to who God has put in your life is saying yes to a part of your destiny. Like I said, we moved to California, you know, and I've talked about it ad nauseum, and to the point where I'm like, okay, yes, two claps for me. We moved to California, but what I don't talk about enough is the community that we made in California. What I don't talk about enough is people like Paul and Natalie Chambers that were from New Zealand that we would have never met had we not moved to California, that are dear friends of ours to this day that I talk to all the time. What I don't talk about is our good friend Isaac, who is from the East Side, who still lives in California, who's come and visited me in when I lived in Oregon, when he's come and visited me here, or Zach, the one who I just talked about, or the people that when we moved to Portland, the community that we built there, and if I say yes to who God's put in my life, I then get closer to my destiny. It's community that will ultimately led me from going from California to taking my family to go to Portland. It was God through community. Your life wasn't meant to be done alone. Our life wasn't meant to be done alone. And I know different personality types, that gets hard because we want to be independent. We want to be, I have all the answers. I don't want to bring people in. I have this figured out. And I think men deal with this a lot, especially. Let me just say that it's important that we understand the weight that God has never intended for us to do life alone and puts people in our life for a reason. Making space for him often looks like making space for community. Let me say that one more time. Making space for him often looks like making space for community. Destiny, are you in here? You can come back up. We're going to go back into worship for a little bit. And this is the challenge that, you know, we talked about making space in our youth last Sunday. And this is a challenge I gave them, and I wanna present to you as well as adults, is what's one thing you can do to level up in making space? Because when we talk about this topic, it can be kind of vague. Well, what does that mean? Like, how do I make space? Like, we can't give you all the answers because making space in your life may look different than me making space in my life. And so it has to come through prayer. It has to come through seeking God and like, God, where is the space you want me to create? Where is the time that I have? How can I do, like, is it in the morning? Is it in the evening? You know, is it on my lunch break? Like, is it on my way to work in the car? Like, where am I going to do this? But it's not about, okay, I don't have a space now, or I don't have a quiet place now, but now I'm going to, you know, tomorrow for the rest of my life, commit 3 hours a day. It's just unrealistic. It's about what is the 1% you could do? What is just the 1%? Not trying to get from A to Z, but how do I just get from A to B? Yeah. Tomorrow, like, how do I, what is one thing I can do different? And we're all in our different walks of life. We all have our different journey. We all have our different devotions and all those things. And that's great. But again, let's make sure that we're not just getting comfortable, but we're actually growing in our faith. We're actually growing in the spaces. I believe God has something for every one of us, young to old. Like, he's not done with us. And even if he's just getting started with you, like, he is ready to move in our lives. But we have to make sure we're creating these spaces for God. Amen? Let me pray for you. Jesus, we just thank you so much just for your goodness. We thank you so much for the spaces, God, that you've created for us. And so, God, I just ask today, Lord, that we would leave this place with more of a revelation of how to move closer to you, God. Right now, I ask for heavenly strategy on your people, on your sons and daughters, God, of how to go deeper in you, how to grow wider in you, Lord, how to move closer to you, God. Just speak to our hearts right now. Speak to our minds right now. Speak to our spirits right now. Let them come into alignment with heaven. God, show us the areas of our lives that we have reserved for things that don't even matter, God. Show us the areas of our lives that we've held on to, the mindsets, God, that we've held on to that you've been telling us to let go for a while. God, and I just pray, Lord, for those spaces to be created this morning. God, we thank you that you make a space for us. You always have a spot reserved for us in your heart. So continue speaking to us this morning. And we just thank you, Jesus, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's worship, church.
Their grounds.
Hearts, God. You are worthy of this praise, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. We lift you up in this place, God. We lift you up in this place, God. Yeah, let's do day and night. Let's do day and night one more time. Thank you, Lord.
Day and night, night and day, let it center us.
Come on, sing this out, church. The voice is saying, you're worthy.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
Thank you, Jesus.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Just keep stirring it up, guys. Just keep stirring it up. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. spaces aren't spaces with God are rarely going to be comfortable. And we cannot be people that idolize comfortability. Jesus' life was uncomfortable. Jesus' death was uncomfortable. And my prayer for this house is that we would be a church that goes after the discomfort in the kingdom. That we would not strive to stay comfortable. But that the spaces that we're going, this is my declaration, that the spaces that we're going are not always going to be comfortable, but we're going to find him there. So, Lord, I just ask today, God, that you would cement that in our hearts. God, that you would take us to places, those that are willing, you would take us to places that aren't always going to be fun, are always going to feel fun, but ultimately are going to lead to you. And we just thank you so much, Jesus, that you continue to do that. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Can we just give it up one more time for God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As well as say thank you to Destiny for leading us in worship. Have a great Sunday, everybody.